Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy. It's
Burkamp.
Hashtag fuck headers.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Come on.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. It's the Aston Villa game. Yeah, I'm not really sure what to say at the moment, but I am sure where to go first. And first, we're going to the chat box. First in the box is Ron Ree, and he says, wow, told you I was looking forward to this. First in the box, yes, you were. Marcus Hodges, Nicky Wilson. Nicky Wilson of the Aston Villa preview fame, who actually made a correct prediction again. Jay Robb's there. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is there. See that, John? Rolls off the tongue now. I don't mess that up. Captain Sirkan's there. Joshua Page is there. I wasn't following Joshua Page. I can't believe it. I'm so sorry, Joshua. I'm following you now, mate. Marco Bricks UK. Martin Morgan's there. And 235100's there. Thunder Road, Beast LZ, David Michael, K-Man 1867, Thomas from Norway, Colo's Used Cars is there, Archie's there, Justard Chemical X, Paul Bonner's there, Mika for Life is there, Corey Sealis, the wonderful Kelly Ma, Nude Gooner's there, Unique 79. If I've missed anybody, I do apologise, okay? I am ever so sorry. But to be honest, I don't know if I'm frigging angry. I don't know what I am at the moment. I've just watched some of the worst football I've seen in my life, and we've still come out with a win. Twerking Man, I do apologise. Graham Watts, I apologise. Sanam Gurung, I apologise. London is Red, Ashley Morris. Right, let's get on with it. With me today is the one, the only. It's back to being just the two of us. We can make it if we try. It's John Rush. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. They get the hello today because we actually won. I don't know how, but we fucking did it.
I got to be honest here, kid. Half of me just wanted to smash the TV up. It was so fucking awful, wasn't it?
It really was, yeah.
Right, let's get it straight into it, is it? Chris was supposed to be here, but the Pirates have probably lost again, so he's in hiding. Plymouth Athletic, I think, all over them. I don't know the score, though, but he must have lost, mustn't he? How's life, John? You okay?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Apologies to everyone who thought I was going to be on the show Thursday. I was supposed to, but work and life and such gets in the way. So I got a few angry DMs and some tweets from people saying, where was I?
To be fair, I wasn't fucking happy either. Okay? You left me and Carl in the lurch. Thankfully, Carl's a winner, so we're all right. Lineups, mate. Saka in off the back of a good performance during the week. Socrates and Luis keeping their positions. No Torreira, no Ozil, and no Willock. Talk me through it.
Yeah, there was some good and bad in that. I was pleased to see Saka kept his place. I thought he earned it. He played really well midweek. I think it's fair to say the Premier League compared to the Europa League, majority of the time is going to be a step up. I actually thought he did all right for his little brief spell today. Surprised Chambers wasn't in over one of Luiz or Socrates, to be honest. I thought that was an obvious one. Another guy who I think every time he's played the season's done really well. Willock and Torreira, again, I don't understand what the manager's thinking is on it. They play well, they put in performances, and every time they do it, they seem to be dropped.
Just a quick one on that, mate. Mm. So, you know, I mean, Unai, when he first got here, talked about a meritocracy of picking people on performance. Yeah, it just seems utter bollocks, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I don't understand it. I mean, Saka playing is a really big thing, and it's for a kid, what is he, he's 18? You know, he's only just got into the team as well. So, yeah, it's good that he gets picked, but there's a few more that they could have chucked in there. And it's not like you're throwing in, right, Willock is a youngster, but Torreira's not exactly young. It's not like he's inexperienced. Chambers isn't inexperienced. He's played a lot in the Premier League. These are guys that could start comfortably and shouldn't disrupt the system too much at all and can fit in really wherever you need them. So, yeah, that was a bit of a head scratcher. The Ozil one, I've got no idea. And this is not me digging Ozil out either. I just don't understand why the club kept him. Because if you're not going to use him, you've just got a guy that's sat on huge wages. It makes no sense whatsoever. You rest him, essentially, by the looks of it, for the Thursday game, and you don't use him at all today. I didn't understand why he didn't start. So, yeah, really weird.
We'll come on to that as we go along, because there's a lot to talk about in the midfield that started and the one that finished. There's a fantastic guy. And 2351100 comes in here. He says, meritocracy, more like mediocrity. That's very hard to argue with that. Matthew Wright says, does Chambers start the next Premier League game? There's so much to talk about. Right, okay. Guys, we'll take your questions as we go along. We're not really au fait with StreamYard yet. So if we do miss you, I do apologise. If you do ask a question, if you can ask at the end of the show, you know, we'll have a crack at that. Right, okay. So let's get into it, okay? The first real big moment of the game was Saka cross, which AMN had a crack at on the volley. He skied it, but my God, he wasn't scared of a goal, was he?
Yeah, no, he wasn't. And I'm really pleased to see him having a go. And Saka as well was one of our bright spots, I thought, in the game today. Every time he got the ball, it wasn't very often, to be fair, but when he did get it, he drove with the ball. He tried to make something happen. He was always positive, whether it was putting the cross in or having a shot himself. And he really looked on it. And that's the one thing with Maitland-Niles. He backs himself. He's got the confidence to do that. Didn't get the technique right at that time, but, you know, I really enjoy that. That sort of self-belief in him. Just a quick thank you to Unique79 for the donation. We will jump onto your question. We'll get to that at the end. Thank you very much for the donation.
Unique79, you're an absolute rock star. Apologies, I didn't see that. Again, we are getting used to new software, guys, so apologies. Right, the next sort of 10 minutes, pal. My notes here, this is fucking dire. McGinn has a chance saved by Leno. Villa are walking through our midfield. Leno saves from McGinn. Leno saves from an El Ghazi free kick. You had one point where Trezeguet just runs through the midfield and nobody looks at him.
Yeah.
Not Ceballos, not Xhaka, not some Guendouzi. They're not looking at him. I mean, they took control of that game really quickly, didn't they?
Yeah, just the thing, you know, the Premier League's not easy and you expect the first 5-10 minutes, you know, it's going to be fairly even and maybe the other team might have a chance early on. That can happen. But you would have thought in this game, especially at home with our record there, that we would just take control in the game and just start to keep the ball. But fair play to Villa, they didn't sit back. They actually pushed up the pitch and actually played some nice stuff. But again, this has happened all season. Our midfield was just non-existent. You could just walk through it. There was no challenges, no tackles made. And our back four is so easy to get at. It's honestly a joke. I don't want to moan Lowe's today because we ended up turning round, which was, you know, a really poor performance and we got the win. But these same questions keep coming up and the same things keep getting asked of us. And we have not got an answer for it at all. It's really disappointing.
Yeah, it's a massive issue for us. We'll talk about stats kind of thing at the end of the game because John Moss isn't getting away with anything today, the fat cunt. By the way, I forgot to tell everybody, were you at the game? Did you see Danny? If you do see Danny, give him a hug because, you know, Danny loves hugs. Danny loves being touched by strangers. He just loves it. And with that, Yvonne Okafor piles in with a donation. And she says, second token win today after Vettel. A token win, yeah, I got to be honest with you. I can't believe how down I am after a victory. I can't. This is becoming painful. We then see John. We get a bit of pressure. Unfortunately, Aubameyang couldn't get his feet out from under him to get to a collar cross, which crossed the goal. Pepe has a shot blocked by Mings, and then Heaton saves from Aubameyang. It was kind of end to end, but you know we weren't threatening the goal at all, were we?
No, he didn't look like scoring. And honestly, Aubameyang today, although he ended up saving us, I thought for, you know, 89, 93 minutes or whatever, other than his free kick, he looked tired. He did look really tired. And it raises the question as, why has he played all those minutes on Thursday? Why was he not brought off and rested a bit? Especially with the fact that Lacazette is out for a period of time. And it just makes you worry that, are we going to end up burning him out? Look, he keeps digging us out of games. And as long as he does that, that's great. But at some point, you've got to give him a rest. You can't ask him to do everything. So, he didn't really seem on it today. Like, his first touch wasn't quite there. And when he was trying to run past people, it wasn't, you know, wasn't really happening. So, I felt in the first half anyway, up until the first goal, it looked like Villa were more likely to score than we were, certainly. We didn't look like we were really going to put any of our chances away.
We'll get to that in a second. Benjamin Ashton piles in the donation and he says, been listening for years, so should finally donate. Benjamin, thank you ever so much. You're an absolute gentleman. That is very, very kind of you. Be in the chat box more. Just have a chat with the guys. They love it. They love a bit of banter back and forth. Then we go behind 1-0. The Villa goal, Alghazi cross, McGinn scores. Guendouzi just doesn't even know what planet McGinn's on. But in all fairness, he's not alone in that. I mean, you know, he stood there ball watching, flat-footed. There's nobody else around. There's no Xhaka. There's no Ceballos getting back. The centre-halves don't know what's happening. I mean, Jesus wept. We might as well just kick the ball in the back of ourselves.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, the fact that El Ghazi's got that much time on the ball to cross it in the first place is the first issue. That's bad enough. The fullbacks were so exposed today and oftentimes caught up high up the pitch. They weren't getting any support. Saka, you can kind of say a little bit, well, he's very young and, you know, it's a big game for him and a big test. So you maybe give him a bit of leeway. Pepe in front of Maitland-Niles should know better. I don't think he was covering him in any great glory. But Guendouzi just completely misses the run off the back of him. You see David Luiz frustrated afterwards saying to Guendouzi, why are you not talking? You know, in that instance, either go with the runner or pass him on to one of your centre-backs. He doesn't do either. As a centre-half, if the midfielder doesn't tell you, yeah, I think Luiz should do better and try and read it and see that Guendouzi isn't going to go with his man. But it's so hard then because you don't want to both end up going and then you leave his space, that gap in behind him. It's a good finish from McGinn. It's a really nice touch on it, but it's so fundamental, like simple football. It's not a complicated ball to deal with. Like, it's a good cross, but it's very simple. If you just go with the runner, you put any pressure on him, he's not going to get that touch and he's not going to be able to score the goal. And Leno can either come out and like claim it or see it out for a goal kick or whatever needs to happen. But it's really simple, basic fundamentals of football, which at the moment we're just getting horribly wrong in like every game. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's not as if this is stuff you shouldn't be working on the training pitch, is it? You know, it's pick up your man, it's block off runners, it's doing the simple things. And I'm perplexed at how our midfield, week on week, you know, at the beginning of the season, we heard the excuses, oh, it's the start of the season. Well, all the other teams have exactly the same time to work on their things. Mm. You know, then it was, oh, it's Liverpool. You know, the Burnley game. So it's just been, it's not been enjoyable so far this season. And last season started off, I know we had two bad losses, but they were City and Chelsea last season. But the sort of hope has gone out of us at the moment. And that, I feel, is you know, there's only one man to blame on that. And he's got to start taking responsibility because he can't keep on pulling out this nonsense and getting away with it.
I can't imagine that Emery is in training and not explaining to Guendouzi that he needs to track his runner or that the defenders need to communicate to Guendouzi, there's a man off your back, you need to follow him or give us a shout if we're going to take him on and you're passing the responsibility onto us. So there's only so much you can do as a coach, and I'm not absolving Emery at all. If I had my choice, I'd fucking get rid of him now, to be perfectly honest. But it's still down to the players on the pitch and getting that done. And at the moment, they're just not doing it.
Yeah, but the question's got to be asked as to why that's not happening. You know, there's no continuity in team selection or team setup, etc. I mean, you know, I don't understand what he's asking from players. You know, if you're asking Ceballos to play high, Guendouzi to be a link, and Xhaka to hold or to cover the back four, then you're asking people with the wrong skill sets to do the wrong jobs. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that is the manager's issue. There's nobody else to blame than that. You know, you can't have it all. I don't know. I'm really, really, really perplexed at the moment. I don't understand what I'm looking at. I don't understand what he's looking at, more to the point. And we then see Pepe have a weak shot saved by Heaton. Then Saka has a great shot just over from outside the box. That would have been the dream for him, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially after Thursday, the goal he scored is brilliant. He got that and the assist and everything. And again, he was the one little bright spot, because Villa had most of the ball, could just get at it so easy. We're creating chances. We had nothing. The moment he came to him, he just opened up his body, saw a bit of space and went, no, I'm going to have a go here. And he was so, you know, he was very close. And it really would have been nice. And I think that's what we needed in the game, because we were under so much pressure and obviously going one down. We just needed a goal earlier to get any response. But he honestly looked like the only one who was going to do anything in that first half, because Aubameyang wasn't on it. Pepe didn't seem, I don't know, he's still struggling a little bit. Hopefully that penalty today will give him that bit of confidence. And the midfield just wasn't connecting at all with the forwards. It just wasn't in the game.
Yeah, it was really, really frustrating. Games end chill because I'm shaking my leg in frustration. That's the truth of the matter. That's why my camera's vibrating. Then we see Trezeguet. He had the freedom of the Emirates earlier on, but at this moment in time, my God, he just runs through the middle of the park. Nobody picks him up. Nobody's looking at him. And you're just thinking, oh, God, you know, we're just letting ourselves in for more trouble. We haven't learned from letting the goal in. You have Mings heading just wide from offside position. And we'd seen, we're going to talk about John Moss in a second. AMN had picked up an early yellow card, and then the second yellow comes. And, you know, you've got, I can't remember who the Villa player was. They're both on the floor. They've both gone shin to shin. And John Moss is just kind of walking about, enjoying the moment, isn't he? He's just waiting for it. He checked to see if it was a straight red with VAR. With the challenges that came later on in the game that went unpunished, do you feel the second yellow for AMN was justified?
People are going to dislike me as normal on this one. I thought the first yellow was fine. It was... yeah, straight bookable offence. He's just pulled the guy down. But that second one, that he gets the ball first, and I know that's what people will say. So he's won the ball. He's won it cleanly. The problem is that the follow through, the height he's foot at, and it's stud showing. For me, it's a second yellow. I know people didn't like how long Moss took over it, but VAR does now check it if it's going to be a straight red. If he didn't connect with the ball, I think he's giving him a straight red there, to be fair. Because it is dangerous. I know both players came off. And there we go. He's the first one, Unix 79. Easy Maitland-Niles got the ball. I know he did. But if your foot is that high off the ground and it's stud showing, you're going to get booked for it. That's the rules these days. The fact that Easy Maitland-Niles got so much stick today after he got sent off is the thing that actually annoys me more than anything else. The John Moss thing I'll talk about in a minute. But the kid's not a right back. He's never been a right back. This is down to poor management, poor recruitment over the summer, and you're playing him in a position constantly asking him to do a job he doesn't know how to do. He's never played that position. I know people say, oh, he's played however many games there now. Doesn't matter. You could play Aubameyang at left back. He's still not a left back. You could play him there for 100 games. It doesn't mean he's going to know how to do it. Fucking Kolasinac has been a left back his whole career. He still doesn't know how to play it. So why people think Maitland-Niles, who is a centre mid, is going to know how to play right back is ridiculous. But it's a stupid challenge. He's gone to win the ball. If he keeps his foot down, I think he gets away with it.
Yeah, but you've got to combine with that the fact our midfield's giving the back four no protection.
Yeah, he's got no help whole game. And also the manager is constantly asking him and Kolasinac to be as high up the pitch as possible to try and give us width. And you've got to do that plus whilst defending and having no cover in front of you whatsoever. It's not going to work. You're going to cause yourself problems like that, which is why you get into those positions and you have to make those challenges. It's just second yellow. I didn't have a problem with it. There's, you know, he could have played, for example, like we saw, Callum Chambers could play right back.
I think you're asking for trouble there. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I think the problem you got, the biggest problem we got is, and this is what leads to this, the second yellow. And yeah, get the stats up. How many yellow cards were dished out today to both teams?
Let's have a look.
When you're letting so many runners through against the back four, it is just going to happen. It's just going to happen. I don't know what we're expecting from anybody, you know?
So it's 8 yellows in the game, 1 for a Villa player, which was Engels, which was for the penalty, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the penalty. It was for the free kick. And 7 for Arsenal, 2 of them, obviously, for Maitland-Niles. If you are giving up possession and the majority, nearly enough, all of our yellow cards, or most of them, are for our defence. I mean, Leno got one for time wasting, and our midfield, it's because they're constantly facing the wrong way and running backwards to try and win the ball back. If you put yourself in that position, that's why you're going to get booked so much. I'm not saying that there were some Villa challenges that should have been booked as well, and I'm not, equally, I'm not saying that John Moss was the problem today. Because he wasn't. It was our own fault. We put ourselves in that position. But if you are asking for trouble, if you constantly are turning the ball over and your midfield's really hard at the pitch, and no one knows, I don't know who was playing defensive mid today, because it wasn't Guendouzi and it wasn't Xhaka.
And this is the thing, he likes playing Xhaka in the sort of quarterback role, but there was no form to it. Jim Housen's just piled in with a donation, and he says, Emery out, sorry, not sorry. You are not alone, my friend. You are not alone. It's, I don't know. I'm just, you know, this first half was some of the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen in my life.
Can I just say quickly, Jay, sorry, I missed one. Maxi B as well with the donation. Thank you very much, Maxi. Your donation did come through. Me and Jason are trying to do this and tweets and everything all at once. We're struggling a little bit. But we've got your question, and we'll keep that for the end. But thank you very much for the donation.
Thank you, Maxi. Apologies, I missed you, mate. I'm going to stay on the YouTube channel from here on in, the K-Pal, and try to pick up questions about it. Then we see, and this is the icing on the cake for the first half, Socrates and Wesley come together on the far side of the park. And Socrates has been given the decision. He doesn't really know that. But then he tries to buy a booking or a red card. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah. If he manages to get the player sent off, though, I'm sure everyone's going, oh, great, very clever dark arts play. The thing that confused me most about that is, why didn't he just fucking complain about the fact the geezer had stood on his thigh? Because that's what it looked like. I don't think it was a stamp or anything. I think he's just caught him. So that would have been...
He didn't catch him, though.
No, he didn't touch his head. No, he didn't touch his head at all. Socrates went down holding his face, and that was embarrassing. But the guy, is it Wesley? Yeah, the big guy up front. He did stand on his leg. So why he didn't just complain about that, I don't know. But look, I get it. There was a little bit too much of the theatrics of trying to get a Villa player sent off or booked or whatever, trying to level things up a little bit. But it's not what you want to see from a senior player in that situation, because he was starting to get agitated. There was a lot of lip between him and Wesley. And it's, you want from those older players who are experienced, you want some experience, calm heads, and say, look, lads, I know you wound up, you don't like the referee. They clearly didn't agree with the second yellow card, that decision. You just wanted to keep it cool, not get anyone else, get a silly booking, get it to half time, and then we'll go from there and we'll sort it out. But yeah, it's not the reaction you want to see from a guy of his experience and his age.
No, it was just terrible all round, and you know, I was kind of thinking you add that to the performance, and I'm not a fan of Socrates, I'm really not, but you know, that was just, it was putrid. Talking of Putrid, how many likes we got? We got 288 people watching and we got 56 likes. Fuck, that is putrid. That is putrid. Look at Hybrid Days. I mean, the Harry Jason, he says, but I'm only here to be good offspring of my parents and give you a thumbs up. I'll catch the podcast later. Good day. Hybrid Days, you're a legend. Thank you ever so much. Now, as for the rest of you, seriously, are you going to be first half Arsenal? A shout of shit? Or are you going to be second half Arsenal? Bit of fight, bit of drive, bit of comeback. Come on, let's get going. Let's get those likes up. Let's have 150 likes, please. Because after, you know, me and John are going to sit through that crap. We can't go and bugger off out and, you know, just go and enjoy yourselves. No, we've got to watch the Arsenal because we've got to do this crap. Nicky Wilson smashes into the £5 donation and says, get on with it. Steve would love that, and I love it. We've got to watch this. And trust me, over the last 3 years, you know, you can do me a favour. We've had a sit through more shit than I care to remember. So come on, be second half Arsenal. Be invincible Arsenal. Don't be Unai Emery Arsenal. Don't be, you know, don't let the bad people walk through you. Kick them. Press the like button. Let's get going. I'm up to 90 now. That's a bit of an improvement. I'll give you a little bit of credit. But it's not really good enough, is it? No, it's not. Like I say, okay, your parents will find out about this. And their shame will live on with them forever. You know, they're just going to be embarrassed by your performance. Right, let's get going. Second half then, mate. Saka off, Chambers on. Now, a few people felt that was harsh. I thought that was the right decision because I think you're asking a hell of a lot of an 18-year-old kid to keep him on the pitch whilst, you know, whilst there are more senior players who be taken off. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen him stay on, but I do get it because it is a really big ask for someone his age. I thought he was bright in the first half. The problem is that when you're down to 10 men, you need a little bit more experience and you need work rate, you need energy. You've got to have people who are willing to run back. I'm not saying that Pepe is necessarily that or anything, but he's the more experienced player at top flight level. He's done more. So it makes sense to do that. It's disappointing for him because I thought in the brief spells when he did get on the ball, he was quite bright and trying to make things happen. So, you know, hopefully he gets his chance again, whether it's in the League Cup or another league fixture coming up. Then we could see some more of him. But it makes sense. Chambers coming on, he's a guy who could have started for me. So I know some people don't like to see him at right back. Yes, he's not the quickest in the world, but I think what he is very good at is a very solid defender. And he's going to help you out because, I mean, to be honest, going into the second half when they made the subs, I thought we're going to be really under the cosh here and this is all on hoofing the ball up the pitch and hoping Aubameyang or Pepe can get a lucky bounce and get on the end of it, because I really didn't think we were going to see the turnaround we did.
Yeah, you know, it was harsh on the kid, to be fair to him, but I just think, you know, it would be even harsher to let him on, to leave him on, because, you know, you've got to develop these guys now. That, you know, their development is so important that, you know, we've got to get it right. So I wasn't against that. In the first minute of the second half, you see El Ghazi crossing across the face of the goal. And fortunately for us, no runners on goal. We got away with one there. You know, we're defending like ghosts is my comment.
Yeah.
Ming's shot deflected wide by Socrates. You know, we didn't come out with the blocks, did we?
No, and I get it. I think for the first 10 minutes of the second half, when you are down to 10 men, change the system slightly. He's gone with two up front because that's basically all we've got that we can do. And you just kind of want to sit. If you can hold it at 1-0 for that first 10 minutes, get your foot back in the game and then go from there and try and build on something. Thankfully for us, because I don't think, honestly, we were going to get back into it if Villa kept on pressing the way they were, certainly in the first half and the start of the second, they started to drop off. And honestly, I don't think if that hadn't happened, then I think we go on to lose that game. But because Villa just took their foot off the gas a little bit and just they started to drop 5-10 yards, midfield starting to get a little bit too deep, defence did, it just opened up a little bit. There was a little bit more room. We had that tiny bit more time on the ball and we could do something with it. And to be honest, a lot of it comes down from a man who, first half, Guendouzi, I thought was garbage. But second half, he was brilliant. Someone's put in the chat here. Who was it? I'm sorry, I've just lost it. Guendouzi plays like he's been at our academy all his life from Tuco. Because he really does, because he really does fight for the shirt. And he was bad first half, and that first goal was his fault. There's no way from that. But second half, I thought he was excellent. He was really the driving force in the team. And the thing that annoys me, it's so embarrassing that a 20-year-old kid has to be the sort of inspiration for the rest of the team to pick themselves up. I mean, it's great that we've got someone who's clearly going to be a great talent for many years to come and obviously going to improve. But the fact it's we're relying on him to do it is the big worry for me.
Yeah, look, I thought Guendouzi was fucking awful first half. He was an embarrassment. But the second half, he came out and he drove the team forward. The one thing I like about this kid is, you know, in the last season, you saw the theatrics in it get into his game. It really came to the forefront. He was diving about, falling over, trying to win free kicks and what have you. And we're going to come to the penalty in a second, where he was slightly theatrical, but it was nailed on. It was nailed on. Engels just took him out. It was the biggest nailed-on penalty I've seen in a long time. But, you know, he's cut that out of his game this season. Yeah, you saw him try to win a couple of penalties and what have you, but he had every right to try to win them in the positions he was in. It wasn't silly falling over. And he looks to improve his game all the time. And I think, you know, he's somebody who genuinely will have been hurt by his first half performance. And he's rectified it, which I think is fantastic. You know, I think it really is. So let's talk about the penalty. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Engels. It was just a stupid challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he just picks the ball up and this is what, when you see the best of him, he just gets it and he tries, whether he drives forward with the ball or always tries to force a pass forward. He always wants to play forward. He very rarely wants to play sideways or backwards. He wants to be positive with the ball. And there wasn't a pass on for him, so he just took it into the space and ran it. It was really good feet as well from him. And he draws the defender onto him, and it's a stupid challenge. And we've got a Villa fan in the chat actually saying he's a bit worried about them this season. But to be fair, if you play like you did for the first half, I don't think you'll have any worries, to be perfectly honest, because you were decent. I would say you definitely deserve something out today. We were very lucky, but really good from Guendouzi, very positive run. And yeah, nailed on pen. There was no argument for me on that one.
Yeah, it was. No. Let's talk about the penalty. He's got his first goal for us and he needed it. Yep. Pepe, what do you think of his performance today?
I mean, the penalty was really good. Like bang down the middle. I think he got 10 out of 11, I think it was, last season in Ligue 1. Yeah. I think it's something like half or just under half of his goals came from penalties. But you still have to step up and take them. I did sort of wind Chris up because obviously he was straight in our chat saying, you know, I don't know what you're giving Pepe so much stick for. And obviously I replied with congratulations, a professional footballer can kick a ball straight. But look, you still have to get up and take it. It's great that Aubameyang is giving him the ball because Aubameyang could have obviously have taken it himself and got his goal. I don't think anyone would have been too worried about that. But he clearly knows that Pepe needs that bit of confidence and needs that bit of belief in himself. And hopefully,
you saw this from him last season with Lacazette.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it's not
the first time he's done this.
Yeah, no, he's not a greedy player. He just wants the team to win. He wants to help his teammates as possible. It's as flash and flamboyant he is. You know, he really is a team player. So that's honestly, it's really good, and I'm really pleased that he's got the goal because you can see there's a player there, but sometimes his decision making or his final pass, that kind of thing, just not quite coming off. You've got to give him time. It is a new league. He is still young, comparatively speaking. But hopefully it does give him that little confidence. So
let's hope it's the start for him because as you say, you can see the quality, you know, I'm not really sure the manager's given him all, you know, the two. I'm not sure the manager's given any of the players the tools or the setup to be able to flourish at the moment, and that's a bigger worry. So my next note is 1-1, game on. Then my next note is McGinn shoots wide, confusion in her defence. Then Wesley scores. A Grealish run, a good cross. Socrates just can't keep up with Grealish. And fuck, it was rubbish, wasn't it?
It really was. Just quick thank you to S_Cam for your donation in the chat. I haven't seen you before. Thank you very much. And also, everyone, if you're in the chat box and you are watching live, give Danny some love because he's apparently sat in a van outside. Well, he says outside Highbury, probably means the Emirates, that's it. And he is watching the show and moaning that Chris isn't here. So even when Danny finally goes to a game after years and years, he's still trying to interfere with a radio show. What a shocker. He'll probably tell us our audio's all wrong in a minute. That goal was... Grealish is a good player, don't get me wrong. I gave him some stick last show I was on, I think, saying I hope he doesn't score, I can't stand him, but he's a decent player. But he just ran in a straight line past Guendouzi, Xhaka and Socrates, gets to the byline, does a simple thing and puts a good ball across. None of those three make a challenge on him. It's so pathetic. It really is. And Wesley gets across David Luiz, who got excited, saw a bit of his hair fly in front of his eye or something, got distracted by it. I'm not really sure. But it was a really simple goal. And it's just, again, shocking, shocking defending.
I still want to get that, my little saying on Socrates, going, fucking tell me again how quick he is. Tell me again how quick he is. Because he was falling over like a flubble wobble. Mm. I don't even know what a flubble wobble is. He was falling over like one. Okay, it was just painful to watch, and unfortunately, it's kind of the story of our season so far. Mm. We defend poorly, we're not getting any help from midfield in defending, and it's just Jesus,
Again, it's another example of Socrates shouldn't be put in that situation in the first place because Grealish has just breezed past Xhaka and Guendouzi like they're not there. He shouldn't have to be dealing with it at all.
That's fair.
He should be in the should be closer to Luiz and be like they should have two men covering Wesley basically. But because of the midfield just not helping him out, he has to come out, gets pulled out of position, and again. They get an easy goal. And, at that point, I thought, oh, God, this is going to be some sort of horror show. Like, this could end up like 7-6 in whoever's favour kind of thing. Because, honestly, it looked like if they wanted to go at us, they could so easily. But, yeah.
It's awful. It's hard to actually have a proper defender. You are correct. Because, they're getting run at more often than a bloody... there's so many runners coming through with them. They're like bunnies in the headlights all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you buy, it's going to be the same problem because your structure isn't right. So, here we go. Game Solar 156 is saying, we need Koulibaly. That's world class. It doesn't matter who you buy, mate. It doesn't really matter because it's just not going to work because the midfield isn't right. Gunnar Shai 77 has just smashed into the donation and he says, save the whales. You're correct, Gunnar Shai 77. You should always save the whales. Did you watch Italian football yesterday, John?
Yeah, I did.
What game do you watch?
I watched the Milan Derby. It was quite enjoyable.
Who scored in the Milan Derby?
He's that geezer who's really bad, apparently. He was a Chelsea player. He went to Everton, I think. And then he went to Man United. And apparently he's awful. Lukaku, that's the one.
Is it fraud Kaku? Ripping it up everywhere else. Did you watch the game before that, John?
No, I did not see that one, though. I sadly did not.
John. Do you know who scored in the game before that?
Oh, hang on a minute. I think he's from where's that place? He's from Wales.
Yes, he is. Oh, Lord. Yes, he is. Bit of a cracker as well.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
I got a bit of fun. Sorry. Anything like the mood of the shit we've watched today. So, in any case, after that, then, mate, Villa break, Trezeguet shoots straight at Leno. And then you have Agüero and Xhaka coming together. Now, Xhaka lands on him with the studs, okay?
Mm.
But Xhaka was in control of the ball with the Agüero challenge. John Moss gives the free kick to us. but no yellow card for Agüero. I mean,
I'll be honest, I thought Xhaka should have been booked because he's overrun the ball, knows he's about to lose it, and so he puts his studs up as high as possible and stands right on Gilfest's ankles. I thought he'd done him. Honestly, if you watch it back, he does that on purpose. That's not an accidental thing. It's hilarious. But, yeah, how we get a free kick out of it, Xhaka doesn't get a booking or anything, is so funny. But, he got away with it.
I just thought it was... It just summed up John Moss as a clown, okay? You know, I just... It doesn't matter which way you look at it. The guy's a frigging clown.
Yeah.
With that, somebody who's not a clown is some guy. And some guy smashes into the $5 donation and he says, let's hit 150 likes, boys. I think we've conceded 170 shots and targets in the last three games. Very poor. You are correct. You are absolutely correct. My God. It was, I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. Then we have, and this is a bit of a feel for Xhaka, actually. Pepe passes to him on the break in the box and the ball just gets stuck under his feet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the crowd again on his back. It's painful to watch at this point. How do you see this going for Xhaka?
I can't see him lasting, honestly. Perhaps past this season. I think part of it's going to depend on whether Emery stays or not. Because Emery seems to really like him. Like, I like Xhaka and I think he's a good player, but he's never used properly. And if you're going to put him in your team, you have to put the right players around him. We didn't do that today. Guendouzi is one, but you have to put another. And unless you have two proper runners in midfield, Willock can be that, Torreira can be that, it's just not going to work. And you've got to work the system around him. And that's just not going to happen, I don't think, under Emery. So I think there's a point with certain players where the fans have just had enough and they will not back him anymore. We've seen that already happen with Mustafi. I think Xhaka's basically at that point for most people now. They really don't want to see him anymore. You've muted yourself, Jace.
Sorry, Thunder Road. I was swearing a bit there because Thunder Road's just trying to score the Jets game. And I mean, if you think watching the Arsenal is bad, you should watch the Jets. You know, you have the humping us at the moment. I do not know what to say. I've had enough. But this is the thing. People talk about Mustafi. You know, people talk about Xhaka. We're going to need them this season. You can't just disregard players. You can't just put them in the bin. You can't do it. We haven't got the squad to do it. And, you know, you look at Willock, you look at Guendouzi, you look at Saka, you know, they're awful young. Couple of bad injuries and all of a sudden you need these guys. So, I mean, Xhaka didn't have the greatest game today. He really didn't. But, I can see him going next summer.
Yeah.
But, you know, the witch hunt is on for him again.
Yeah,
you know, again. And if you look at some of the performances on our team today, there are others just deserving of grief, but they don't get it, you know?
No.
They don't get it. You know, I saw something from the great Stefan Selby earlier on, Socrates playing like Mustafi. He played exactly the same last season. It's just everybody ignored it. You know, it's everybody ignored the fact of the mistakes he made and the shit he got away with, simply because everybody's the spotlight is on Mustafi.
Yeah.
He's off, you know, people say, people used to get up Mustafi's stats and what have you, and they disregard them. But those challenges, those aerial headers, those clearances, they all, you know, impacted on a game. They all impacted on a game. They all contributed to us. You compare them to Socrates, there's not much contribution there, apart from a fist pump here and there. But, you know, let's pick on the guy, You know,
the thing is, when Xhaka does something good, like Rudy Rustos has just put in the chat, people don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the bit that annoys me. So that's the bit that annoys me. Now, we're talking about a guy now, again, we're going to bring back on Guendouzi, because Heaton makes a great save on an absolute screamer from him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was lucky that went out, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's a great shot. And it's something I want to see a bit more from him bring into his game. Because sometimes, quite often, we do get this a lot with our midfielders, that they'll make a little run, they'll find a bit of space, and their first instinct is to pass rather than take the shot. You saw Saka do it today. Guendouzi did it, was really unlucky not to score. That ball could have bounced back off the post onto Heaton's hand and gone in very easily, you know, to get us a goal there. And all right, fair enough, it wouldn't have counted as Guendouzi's, but it's all from him and his work rate. And I hope he does start, you know, getting himself on the score sheet, because that is another thing we are missing, is goals from our midfield. We're really lacking in that department at the moment.
If it's not the front guys but popping them in the key, we're just not getting them. I mean, we'll come on to that in the rest of the game now. Then we see a little bit of, there's like a 5-minute spell. Grealish handball in the box. Penalty, yay or nay?
No, not for me. That whole penalty, fuck, that handball rule is so fucking stupid, honestly. It's ridiculous. I mean, there's times where, if your hand's above your head, fair enough, give it. But you have to put your arms out for balance. You can't do the whole, you see defenders do it now with their arms behind their back and they're trying to block shots and stuff. Completely fucks your balance up. You can't do it. It's ridiculous. They need to get an actual footballer to help the referees explain the rules and how, I don't think referees understand how like basic physics works. Because seriously, you cannot balance properly without putting your arms out to some level. It's so stupid, honestly.
Okay. No, I agree with you there. I've got to be honest, I think that would have been harsh, though I was screaming for it.
Oh, of course, any time. I'm like pulling my hair out.
Guendouzi makes a run down the side. There is a challenge there. He does go over theatrically. Him and Heaton have come in together. Yeah. I was screaming at the TV, okay? Stick the head in him, Guendouzi. Stick the head in him. I really was. I thought I'd had enough by then, you know. Just break his face and move on, you know. And I don't get how Heaton doesn't get booked there. I really don't.
I think it's
an altercation.
Yeah, I think it's the whole Guendouzi, because he puts his finger up and he doesn't quite poke him in the face, but he's putting it close enough to like wind him up. And you can see he's obviously got a little bit of, there's still a little bit from the end of the first half of, if we can wind a few of these Villa players up, we might be able to get one of them sent off and maybe get them down to 10 men. But yeah, he did go over a little bit too easy. And I understand why Heaton's annoyed, because you think you play for a club like Villa, you're in the bottom three as it is anyway. You know your season's going to be tough. You're winning away at the Emirates. I know we're not the Arsenal of old, but it's still amazing that you're winning away. And to be fair to them, up to that point, they probably outplayed us the majority of the game. And if we got a penalty from that, which, let's be honest, is a dive, you're going to be absolutely screwing. So you're going to get that reaction. But yeah, I mean, I think Guendouzi's a little bit lucky there. He doesn't get booked for, you know, simulation. Because he was definitely looking for it.
He was, but they were both of them could have got booked there, to be fair. Okay. Then get Alba shooting wide from a Socrates head-on from the corner. Ooh, he shot well wide, didn't he?
Yeah, again, he just did not look on it today. He just looked tired. He really looks like he needs a rest, doesn't he?
We're going to talk about Alba at the end of the match here, at the end of the show. But you know, I don't know how one guy can dig us out of the shit so often. Mm. I really, you know, our tactical setup at the moment is start 11 players and hope Aubameyang scores. It's as simple as that. Then we get the changes. Xhaka off, Ceballos off, Willock and Torreira on. Your thought? Well, we've already spoken about Xhaka. Let's talk about Ceballos.
Non-existent, wasn't it?
I got to be honest with you. I heard so much bollocks about this guy after the Burnley game, okay? And he was fantastic, to be fair, okay? But all too often, flat is to deceive, no influence on the game whatsoever. Is he the new Santi Cazorla?
Fucking wind up. I don't know. Look, there's a reason why Madrid would let him out on loan, but equally there's a reason why they wouldn't sell him. You can see the talent and ability there, but it's tough. And also, you can't ask one guy to make the difference in midfield. It's so... Because Guendouzi and Xhaka just weren't in the game at all first half. And then it's hard for him. All he can do is get the ball and try and give it to Pepe or Aubameyang or whatever and try and do stuff. And I think the other side of it is as well, because we're so used to one of our midfielders being this essentially just a creative player because we've had Ozil doing it for so long, you miss out on all the other stuff he does. And in terms of his work rate and tracking back and putting challenges in, he's in the box, in our own box, winning the ball back and doing things like that and trying to get it and play out from the back. So I think that side of his game is really good. But yeah, he weren't in it today. So disappointing performance, but I don't think he's helped by his teammates in any way. And to be fair, that goes for everyone today who had a bad game. You're never going to play at your best if the guy next to you or the people around you are playing so poor as well.
It's really difficult, isn't it? Okay, you know, you obviously can see the talent Ceballos has. Okay, we don't get runners going forward. We don't give good options. We seem to struggle. Now, obviously, this is a very it's easy to blame certain players. Like, it's easy to blame Xhaka. It's easy to have a pop at Ceballos. It's easy to have a pop at first half Guendouzi and pray second half Guendouzi. But, you know, where is the manager in all this trying to get the best of these guys? Because it's really, really difficult for me to see how he's going to sort this out. You know, I don't think he has a clue how to set up with them to get the best of them.
I've got no idea. I really... There's things that, for me... makes sense that you could do with the midfield, but Emery just seems so reluctant to do it. I don't get it. I'm happy that he's always willing to see his own mistakes and make changes. The problem is that it's every single game. And normally, every match we go into, our best team is the three players he brings off from the bench. That's just not good enough. But look, you go and get a Europa League manager, you're going to get Europa League performances.
I couldn't agree more. I thought Emery was the right man when we got him. I really, really did. Okay, I thought this is a guy who he's got experience. He's been at big clubs. Do you know what I mean? He'll have learned from his mistakes. I don't see him as learning from his mistakes. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Massive shout to Daryl Kane, the magnificent Daryl Kane. Piles in with a donation and he says, "Emery, it's not working. Yours sincerely, Captain Obvious." It's not. This is the hard part of it. It's just not working. You then see Torreira shoot wide. Aubameyang shot blocked. McGinn play acting after coming together with Kolasinac, where Kolasinac holds his ground. No different to kind of the stuff we'd been doing, to be fair. You know, it was getting a bit pantomime out there.
Yeah.
Then you get a Chambers shot deflected wide after a Pepe overhead. We were starting to apply a bit of pressure here, weren't we?
Yeah. All of a sudden, again, Villa just kept dropping back deeper and deeper and deeper. And then the manager is, his substitutions didn't make any sense to me, the Villa manager, Dean Smith. Because we were there for the taking. We were so open, especially with 10 men. And you know we're going to start chucking players forwards so you can hit us on the counter. But he made subs that just made that team drop back and back and back, and they kept giving up the ball and they were just clearing up the pitch and we're getting possession again. And again, you know, Guendouzi's getting the ball. He's being positive. He's driving forward. He's trying to increase the speed of play, you know, pick up the pace and the tempo of it. And the crowd as well, to be fair, though it was great atmosphere at the Emirates by all accounts, Danny and Carl were saying, and they're all really getting behind the team. It's just everything was going in our direction at that time. We just needed that goal, and thankfully we did get it.
Yeah, it came very quickly afterwards. A nice attack. Chase gets in a good position from a really lovely pass from Guendouzi. I don't think you can... not acknowledge how the quality of the pass from Guendouzi.
Yeah.
It put Chambers on the front foot in the box. First shot's blocked. Great feet. Wins the ball back and bang. That was a dirty little finish, wasn't it?
Yep. That's point, a great finish.
Points there to Josh Dawe for the word dirty finish.
My favourite sort of finish. I love Chambers. I think he's great. I think he's just Mr. Consistent. He doesn't do too much wrong. He's never going to give you a 10 out of 10 performance. He's not going to be a top-tier defender or anything else. But he'll always play. He doesn't hide or anything. And I'm really pleased for him to get a goal. I just hope the manager just looks at him and just says, just give him a chance. Just give him a chance in the team, whether it's has to be at right back if AMN is out for a while now until Bellerin's fully fit, or it's at centre back and whatever, and you drop one of Louise or Socrates, whatever it is, just give him a chance. He's played all around the league. He's played for loads of different teams. He's got really good experience. He knows the Premier League. So I really do think he deserves a chance. And again, it's a guy who is essentially he's playing out of position. He's not really a right back. I know he's done it, but it's not his proper position. But absolutely great goal. And I think the moment that went in, then it was a case of, okay, I don't think we're going to concede now. It's just whether we're going to get the winning goal. Because I just thought Villa is just ready to crumble at this point. They're falling to bits.
They're shattered at this point, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, I've got to give credit to Tom Chambers. I do like him. He got stalked on Saturday night by Neil Chimp in the local supermarket. Neil was not happy. He was buying chicken dippers. Not happy at all. But he can buy as many chicken dippers as he wants with his performance today. We've had somebody on the pod who used to work at St. George's Park, and that person spoke about how highly rated he was, his quality on the ball, his ability on the ball, etc., his technical ability and his quality as a footballer and a man. He got in the head of is him Mawson in the head of Holding at age grade for that World Cup. Run they had. I'd really like to see him and Holding play in at least Europa League.
Yeah,
I'd really like to see that because I don't think Emery's brave enough to put them in Premier League. But that's a partnership which I think would do very well. Moving onwards, we then get the best named footballer ever shooting and again the shot saved from Leno. Marvellous Nakamba. I love this guy. That's the greatest name ever.
It was a few times on the commentary that I had on, and the commentator did say, oh, this is marvellous play and whatever. He said, I'm genuinely not trying to do a pun. It just keeps slipping out. I'm not intending to do it, but yeah, it's a brilliant name.
It's fantastic. And then we get free kick. Talk me through the free kick. Talk me through, another free kick against us, yet no booking. I know John Moss is a fat, incompetent twat. I know he is. You're just going to watch him referee a game and you see that. But how can he justify, the amount of yellow cards for one team as opposed to the other? I don't get it. Actually, let's talk about the positives. Aubameyang and Pepe over the ball, a lot of conversation, and then bang.
Well, he'd done basically nothing all game. Looked like he was on his last legs because he looked really tired. But yeah, that little chat, maybe it was just he needed a breather, just get his breath back for a minute. Honestly, if I'm Unai Emery, I'm on my knees in front of Aubameyang right now, just saying, whatever you want to do, ball's in as well. You've kept my job. Because honestly, he's keeping him in a job week in and week out at the moment.
Lacazette kept him in a job last season against Valencia.
Yeah. He's so good. His strike rate is ridiculous. The number of goals, not just for us, but for Dortmund, and you look over his whole career, I don't think he ever goes in like more than three games without a goal. I think he's been involved in every goal or every game we've played this season where we've scored, he's been involved in the goal, whether scoring it or assisting it in some way. He's so important to us. It kind of makes me reminiscent of when Van Persie was at the club and how we could be awful in a game, but you just knew that if there was that one moment where he got the ball, he was going to get us a goal and somehow pull us out of it. And that's what Aubameyang's doing for us now. And I genuinely, I don't know where we'd be without him. And Emery must fucking, oh, yeah. On your knees, son.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. Before he came to us, you read all the reports about him and you weren't sure. I wasn't sure, okay? You know, you really weren't sure. But, you know, how's he going to be as a player in the dressing room and stuff like that? And then you read the reports about when he was leaving. There was no ill will from Dortmund, actually. They, you know, they wished him the very best. It wasn't like the Dembele business.
No.
And you just watch his impact on the team and you watch his performances. And my God, you know, he's just a joy to watch. And I'm so happy we signed him. Thank you, Sven Mislintat. You know, the way he takes our free kick, he knew what he was going to do. And bang, he nailed it, okay? You know, you just see the boy. He keeps on going, keeps on working. You can see he was shattered today.
Yeah,
and he still has the mental ability to do that at the end of the game. Hats off to him. I mean, you know, you look at this. I thought him and Lacazette saved Emery's job last season, to be honest with you. You know, I just sucked him last season. I don't give a shit. But... you know, how looking at this team, you can't see the importance for what he is to this team and what he gives to the team. You know, I just don't get it. You know, I mean, and we're lucky Josh Dawes isn't in charge because he'd have sold him last season.
So would have I, to be fair.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. I just didn't get that.
I know, top scorer for the club, and I was like, oh, I don't know, something about him because he just so many chances.
Yeah, he scored goals.
Stuff, but yeah. There you go.
He keeps scoring goals. I just thought fantastic. You had then Mohamed D high foot on Guendouzi. Again, no yellow card.
Yeah.
Well, let's forget the rules, John Moss. It doesn't really matter. It's kick Guendouzi in the head. And then thankfully, the Socrates handball. What did you think of that?
So I only got one replay of it. But it did look like he leaned in, to be fair. It was very quick replay and then they just carried on with live coverage, but it was close to his shoulder. To be fair, VAR looked at it and said it was okay. So, look, we know, as Arsenal fans, look, we trust technology and we know VAR works. It's only those Tottenham fans, they don't seem to understand the offside rule. So, look, you can score with an armpit hair. It's just you can score with that part of your body. So, tough shit, boys.
Yeah,
VAR got that one spot on.
I gotta be honest with you, if that wasn't the Villa player, that I was screaming for a pen.
Oh, I absolutely.
I thought we got a little lucky there. Oh, jeez, and you know he's motion towards it. It's just arms out. I don't get what these people are looking at. Some guy has just smashed into another donation. Thank you, mate. You're an absolute rock star. We will ask your question in the question sections now. Okay. But, you know, his arms away from his body. I don't get it. You know, I'm still laughing at all these people talking about VAR. Oh, you know, you can't have that with the Son offside. You know, it's a millimetres, man. You've got to give it to him. He's offside.
Yeah, it's so confusing. I don't understand why people are arguing, but there's a new thing now. They're saying you have to bring back in the daylight rule. What? It's the one thing that you can get spot on. You can get offside spot on. It's fine. It's if you are ahead, I think even if it's your level now, I can't remember the exact ruling, but if you're in front, it's tough. It doesn't matter what it is or how much it is. Not that, you have to give advantage to the attacker. That's the offside rule. Fuck off.
Yeah, that's a load of bollocks. I tell you what. Would you have Brendan Rodgers instead of Emery?
Oh, right now I would, to be perfectly honest.
I'd have him twice.
Bring James Madison with him as well.
Yeah, fucking unbelievable. Right, that was the game. What a roller coaster, pal. First person I want to talk about really is Guendouzi. Jekyll and Hyde performance, but what a second half. Shows a guy who's really, you know, he's got so much dog in him. You've got to love him, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. First half performance was just not good enough. Totally at fault for that first goal. But the way he came out in the second half and he drove the teams forward, really unlucky not to get a goal. You know, he was involved in the build-up with a brilliant ball to Chambers for Chambers' goal as well. And just showed the right attitude and really played for the shirt. And it's why the fans have taken to him so quickly as well. So
from his through balls, the quality of them is very, very impressive.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want to see him develop and continue to grow as a player. He's got a long, long way to go. I hope he keeps improving because he's clearly got the ability. It's more about being switched on and alert in games and stuff because he has got that annoying thing of switching off for players running in behind him. He's done that far too many times. But hopefully with, you know, time and experience, he'll learn those things. Also,
whoa.
Right.
Sorry. There's a geezer just got into my chat box here. You fucking scumbag. Get the fuck out of that chat box. Don't you fucking ever come in, you cunt. You and your fucking ilk deserve to be drowned like the little bitches you are, you racist cunt. Fuck off. Sorry. Fucking prick.
No, it's all right. I got him, Jace.
Right, he's hidden as well now. Fucking scum. Apologies, listeners. We're just a racist in the fucking chat box. I'm not fucking having it. Fucking scumbag cunt. Right, sorry. Right, so let's get back on with this. We're talking about Guendouzi. You know, Chris Carpenter's gone all, you know, wanky over batty or today. I don't see him knocking his first half performance, but I love Matthew's second half performance. That was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I credit to the boy. I thought he was awful against Watford last week, absolutely awful. And he's got the character to keep on coming back. He keeps on coming back. You know, hold up here. We got another fucking scumbag. You petty little wankers. Go on, you petty little scumbags. Keep on coming in. I'm going to keep on banning you. You are the bottom feeders of society. Take care. Right. There we go. Right. Okay, let's go back. But, you know, Matthew's his backbone. He keeps on coming back. He's so impressive, isn't he?
Yeah, I really, really like that fighting character in him, and it's seriously, it's just it's an age thing. It's about game time and development, and once he gets that more experience and stuff, he's going to learn from those mistakes. And I'm sure some of the senior players, you know, David Luiz, you saw him digging him out today for the first goal conceded, saying, why are you not covering the man? Why are you not, you know, shouting, giving a word or whatever it is? And he'll learn from all those things. But the way he responded to it in the second half was fantastic.
Absolutely. Chat box, I got 134 likes. You've got a target today, chat box. Are you going to be first half Guendouzi or second half Guendouzi? What do you want to be in life? Come on. Macho Guendouzi's parents are very proud of him right now. Second half, they're very, very proud of him. They're not very proud of his first half. So be like Matteo. Start tapping that like button. 150, please. Too sweet. Let's get going. John Aubameyang. If he gets injured, Emery loses his job. Is it as simple as that?
I mean, it could be, yeah, because at the moment, you know, I know we got a goal from Pepe and we got a goal from Callum Chambers today, but one's from a penalty and the other one is where we're chasing a game and really flying on pressure. But Aubameyang is the only consistent scorer we have in the team. And whilst Lacazette's out injured, I don't know where else we're going to get goals from. So that's honestly, he's keeping him in a job right now. I don't think the club would sack him mid-season. I mean, personally, I would boot him out the door right now. I don't care that we came back from, you know, 2-1 to win 3-2. Trust me, I love the result and I'm really pleased we did, but I'd still fucking boot him out the door straight away.
But according to the Gooners pod, and the Gooners pod over the summer, you know, they were rubbing shoulders with Vinny and the rest of the squad. Or have you, you know, Vinny and Josh think that Emery's the man? Do Vinny and Josh know anything about fucking football?
No, I think they're just doing the usual thing, is that they back the manager.
Yeah.
Owners never come out and say, oh, we're not really sure about him. They're not going to say that, are they? I mean, no, it'd be fucking great if they did. They went, you know what, we didn't have a lot of choice, so we picked this bloke for all right for a while, but we're waiting around to see if someone's better. That's why we only gave him a two-year deal. You know, that'd be a lovely thing to hear, but you're never going to get that honesty. So, of course, they're going to back him. It's the same as when a manager backs a player. It's the same thing, you know.
Oh, look, I've got Greenpeace in, you know. As much as I love, you know, a cleaner future, etc. No, we're not having politics in here. Sorry. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you know, I mean, I look at Aubameyang at the moment. I just see, you know, the guy just digs us out of trouble every time. You know, how many goals he got so far this season? You know, it's ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
It's, I, as much as I love Lacazette, I've got to be honest with you, I'd rather have Aubameyang in my team than Lacazette.
Yeah, if you're going to pick one, yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's just got a sniff. He doesn't stop working. He was quiet today, but we had a poor performance as a team. How do we get the best out of him?
Mm.
Because I don't understand. I don't see what, you know, when we cannot be a purely counter-attacking team, not with the players we've got. We just can't be that. We've got to be a team who are protagonists, you know? We really have got to be. Fuck all up here. I've got another arsehole in the box. Just fuck off, you prick. What's the fucking matter with these people?
Oh, I think he was joking, Jace, to be fair.
I don't give a fuck.
If Fathers for Justice popped up in there, it would be quite funny, but yeah.
Don't push me at the moment, innit? Just don't push me. Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at his goal haul so far, you look at the work rate he puts in, you know, this is our team. If he goes down, where are the goals coming from?
Yeah, that is the big issue, and that's the real big worry for me. Is Solskjaer just been sacked?
I don't know, has he?
Is that what they're talking about in the chat? Has he been sacked?
Let's have a quick look.
Oh, motherfucker, has he beaten Emery to it?
Oh, I won't be fine. You did win again.
Oh, they always beat us.
I can't see anything.
Yeah, I can't see anything yet. Maybe it's just a rumour flying around.
To be fair, okay, you know. The United would win if that happened. So we go to questions, or is there anything else we want to speak about?
No, look, I'm really pleased the team came back and the way they fought back in, especially in the second half. That's great. But again, it just raises more question marks over the manager is the big issue. But look, happy that we got the 3 points. That at the moment is the only thing you can take. So yeah, let's just do some questions and get out of here.
Yeah, this kind of dodges it. Okay, so the first question from Unique79 is Jason and John. Is Unai Emery walking on thin ice?
I tell you what, he's spread out flat on it, like trying to keep his weight spread as evenly as possible at the moment, and just sort of, I don't know, just slowly edging across it. The cracks are starting to appear, though. Yeah,
I got to be honest, I'd be chucking stones at that thin ice. I would sack his ass right now. No ifs, no buts. I don't understand how you can, you know, with the amount of talent that we do have, put our performances on the pitch like that and have no questions asked of you.
Yeah,
I really don't. You know, as much as, we give our opinion on games. You don't have to agree with us. You don't have to think we're right. You don't have to think, you can think whatever you want of us. But we all saw what we put out on that pitch today.
Yeah,
and it wasn't good enough to be bang average. Mm. It was awful. And if it wasn't for a couple of catalysts, I thought Joe Willock gave us a little bit. I thought Torreira gives a little bit. I thought Guendouzi gives a lot. But I can see him ruining players the way he's going. I really can. Would you sack him?
I would, but I've got no chill, as the kids say. So there you go.
I'm not just sacking. I fucking deport him.
Just to wind people up, because there's a few people who would agree with me on the get him out and sack him. I'd sack him and I'd go and hire Mourinho right now. That'll annoy people.
I got to be honest with you. I think Mourinho would bring attacking football compared to what we're seeing from Emery.
And we'd defend properly.
Yeah, and we would actually defend properly. And for all those who tell me about the Emery master plan, my manager and all this, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Sorry. It's as simple as that. Josh Page asks, we haven't won away to Man United since 2006 in the league. What do we do next weekend to change that? Sack Emery?
I've got no idea because our away form is terrible. But thankfully, Man United are so garbage at the moment, we've got a chance.
Don't say that, John.
Honestly, I've got no idea. That result could be 4-0 to either team. It could be 10-0. It could be 0-0. Honestly, it's awful. I really don't know what we can do. The best thing we can do is go out and put a positive midfield out that's got legs, that can move. I hope Saka gets another start. I'd go with the same front three because I think we play Monday night.
Monday night football.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, by the way, it's me and you and somebody else for that.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There's a surprise. I'd go with the same front three, but I'd change the midfield. I'd put Willock in there. I'd put Torreira in there and Guendouzi and just let them play. Put out the players who are playing well and see what they do.
You got a point, Jess, and a lot of young players on TV. This.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to do it.
Fair point. Unique 79 again asks, we are conceding too many goals like last season. Socrates and Luiz are liabilities. Should we go with Chambers and Holding in central defence?
I'd give it to them once they're both fit and I'd try it out. Like you said earlier, I don't think Emery will do it in the league necessarily. But it's not just those two fault. Don't get me wrong, they are making mistakes and they've got issues, but it's the midfield in front of them. Until you sort that out, it doesn't matter who you put in defence. You're still going to have problems.
That midfield has been a problem since last season.
Yeah.
You know, funny enough, it looked to be solved when you're Ramsey and Xhaka in the two.
Yeah.
It did. Results tell you that. But I don't know what he's going to do now. I really don't. Maxi B asks, drop Xhaka, Saka, Milik, plus Guendouzi and Torreira. Should they come in?
I'd bring in Willock and Torreira. Saka in the middle. And that's a big ask. I know he drifted in the middle today a couple of times and did some good stuff there. But I think for now I'd still play him wide. And let him play in his natural position, not to ask too much of him. But again, dropping Xhaka, I don't know whether that makes a huge difference in the midfield. Maybe it does. Give it a go. We've got to try something.
I don't think it does, okay, but the problem I've got is I can see of the two, if you're going to play two at the base, I can see Willock and Torreira working.
Yeah.
Okay, but with Torreira, with having the... You know, under the auspices, stay.
Yeah.
You know, you are doing the covering job like you do for Uruguay, etc. I don't see that happening. And I don't see Guendouzi as a man able to play up further up the park effectively. Because I think it's just too many touches with him, not enough pass and move. He's somebody who's built for maybe a three-man midfield. But you can't have three base players at your midfield, can you?
I mean, Willock will run box-to-box for you all game. That this whole idea that there was another one there. You can cunt off.
Where are they?
That's all right, I got it. The idea that midfielders either have to be attacking or defensive and can't be anything in between is ridiculous. Midfielders can play both. They can do box to box and Willock can do. Yeah. So I think you can play three in midfield. you just have to say, like, one of you is going to be slightly deeper than the other and whatever. But, yeah, you can go as a unit. You know.
So if you, for argument's sake, you had Guendouzi, Torreira as the two base players and Willock slightly higher up doing that, yeah. the B2B role.
Mm.
Yeah. I'd happily give that a go, but I'd like to see them do it
yeah.
in Europa League before they do a Premier yeah. League. That's the one thing. You know, he's going to have to start using Europa League as a testing ground for formations at the moment, because I don't see him, you know, he's not going to get it right in Premier League, is he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll answer the next one. Thomas from Norway asks, is Emery turning the team to play safe? We seem to let loose more than second half. I think it was desperation. I don't think he's telling to play safe. I just don't think he's got the setup right. John, your opinion?
I do think he is a little bit pragmatic at times, which is something we've called out for, which we didn't have under Arsene. The problem is...
pragmatic managers don't let in 51 goals.
No, that's the problem. The problem is he tries to be pragmatic, and I think he tries to get the team to play slightly safe. But the issue is that the midfield and defence has got no connection or communication at all. So it doesn't work. So essentially, you shoot yourself in the foot before you've even started the game. And unless you get that communication, that defensive stability first, the basics, you know, like simple principles of football, then it doesn't matter how pragmatic you are.
Mm. Matthew Wright's question says, do you see things improving once Holding, Bellerin and Kieran come back? I don't know how we play through the midfield. We play both fullbacks so high up the pitch. I don't see how they're going to... They'd improve things going forward, I think. And they will add a little bit to us going backwards. But the set, you know, teams play so often through the middle of us. That's where your big problem is. And, you know, as much as I love Bob Holding, he's never been the saviour of Arsenal. I mean, the kid is overhyped already on actual performances on the pitch. You know, people are slagging off Bellerin before he got injured last season. Everybody seems to have forgotten that. We're still going to have the same problems because the same tactics are going to be put on the park.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it will make our attacking play better. I don't know what Tierney's like because you haven't seen him yet in an Arsenal shirt. Bellerin is clearly an actual fullback, which Maitland-Niles isn't. Again, I'm not giving him stick. It's just not his position. I think he's been hung out to dry a little bit out there and when there's other people who could have come in to cover. So that's a big positive when we get them back. Holding, I think, will be a positive as well. I think he's a good player. But it doesn't, again, you've got to sort the midfield out. That's the biggest issue we've got right now.
Absolutely. Loki73 asks, how has Emery improved our team? What philosophy do we have? I'm confused.
I don't think he has. Put it simply, I don't think he has improved our team. No. And I don't know what his philosophy is. It's clearly to adapt to the opposition, which is something I think we all wanted. The problem is, every time he's done it, he's got it wrong. And it's not until he makes substitutions that the team looks right on the pitch.
And it doesn't always look right then.
No.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when he's looking at all his tape and he's, you know, doing his editing at the end of the day, you might have, he must be laughing his head off thinking, I'm getting paid 5 million quid a year by these bugs. Really must be. I don't know what to say. Marcus Hodges asks, why isn't Aubameyang being mentioned as a potential captain? He certainly shows more leadership than the current choice and more than Koz ever has. I think that's a good point.
He did get the armband when Xhaka went off. I did notice that. He was given the armband when Xhaka went off the pitch. But yeah, I think it's tough when you're a striker though. You know, you don't affect the play and you're not on the ball as much. I do prefer generally to have it as a midfielder or a defender to be the captain. But yeah, there's no reason why you can't give it to them.
There's no outstanding candidates at the moment. I mean, Chris is asking for Guendouzi to be captain, but that would ruin him. Ruin him.
Yeah.
The kid just enjoys football. You know, yeah. he's young, he's hot-headed, he's everything he should be at his age at the moment, even develop. Kman1867 asks, I know it's early, but given his performances so far, would you try to sign Ceballos next summer? I wouldn't, he says.
Right now, no, I wouldn't.
Not on what we've seen.
No. But it's a long season. He's new to the league. So he's still got time to impress. And even if we did want to buy him, Madrid might not let him go. So.
And Madrid might want stupid money. And yeah. To be honest, you know, it's a long way to go in this season. Yeah. And he's
that's not necessarily the type of player our team is desperate for. I'm not saying we couldn't use someone like that if he's playing to his best. Of course we could. But it's more we need a proper midfield general who's going to boss that team and give a player a slap if they need to, you know, you need to be 5 yards back this way or that way or whatever. That's what we're missing.
Yeah, it's really difficult at the moment. I'm not sure what to make of it. You know, we're not putting him in a position to succeed at present. So, it's, you know, what hope has the poor guy got? Rondry asks for ABW. Pepe dropped to give a bit more more balance to our midfield. Not sure who I would play out there. I was going to say Dani Ceballos, but you just slagged him off. Just have it off at him at that time. I thought last season we were crying out for a wide player. We've been saying this for a few years. We've been talking about the team being unbalanced. We finally get a wide player and we still look unbalanced.
Yeah. I saw a stat earlier and now look, chat box, please jump on me or anyone listening to this later if this is wrong. But I saw something and it was something about Emery and use of wingers. And how basically only 10, like he'd only got 10 goals from wingers, from like actual proper wingers in his career as a manager. I don't know if that's true or not. I've got no idea. But if it is, that's garbage. And if you look at some of his previous teams, the people he plays out wide generally haven't been real like wingers. So I don't know if he even knows how to use them properly. That's the worry. And then it becomes an issue of have we invested 80 million quid into a guy who may be amazing, but we've got a manager who doesn't know how to use him properly and get the best out of him.
That's quite interesting, isn't it? It really is quite interesting. I'm on 149 likes, people. Come on, for crying out loud. Tap somebody. Tip us over the line, please. It's kind of ridiculous the crap you've got to put up with. Some guy asks, can our injured fullbacks change this team at all?
Again, like we sort of spoke about it earlier, but I think in an attacking sense, yes. And I think it's fair to say Bellerin is a better defender than Maitland-Niles is. He knows the position better. He can cover it better. Tierney, I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I've never seen the guy play. The only thing I've ever seen of him is YouTube videos. But he looks good. He looks very good. And I'll be honest, I'm just going to say it. He's probably a better left-back than Kolasinac. I might be a better left-back than Kolasinac, and I can't kick the ball with my left foot. So there you go.
To be fair, we'd have put Danny the GFP in our midfield. And final question of the night is from Aryan Hadari. John, if you were to take three players from Serie A, who would they be?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I would take Barella from Inter, a young Italian midfielder, very creative, very talented. Reminds me a little bit of Cesc. There's this geezer at Inter as well called Skriniar, who's a fantastic centre-back. There's one more. He plays for... What's that team he plays for internationally? Wales. He plays for Wales. Aaron Ramsey. That's the one.
Yes, correct. and I'd agree with you on all of them, except I'd get Lukaku in just to piss Chris off.
The other one is I'd take two players and instead I'd get a manager in and I'd go and get Antonio Conte and nab him from Inter.
So Bert comes in here, he says Ramsey, Mkhitaryan and Szczesny. I tell you what. Apart from racists and idiots, I do love this chat box. Jamie Fitzgerald is the 150th like. You're a winner, son. You're an absolute winner. Thank you ever so much. Aryan Hadari says, name a more iconic duo than John and Jace. Fire chips. You're far too kind, pal. That's it for tonight. I think we've beaten the shit of that. We've gone for an hour and 40 nearly. Nearly an hour and a half, sorry. That's it. To the chat box, you have been absolutely magnificent. There's been some brilliant questions in there. There's been some brilliant interaction. Thank you ever so much. You know, it's been really enjoyable to watch. Unfortunately, apologies for having the racist scum pop in the box, but hey, you know, we will get that now and again. But we won't put up with that shit. We will never put up with that crap. Special shout outs to these guys are all wonderful and amazing. Unique 79, Yvonne Okofor, Benjamin Ashton, Jim Housen, Maxi B, Nikki Wilson. Oh, Christ, I can't read my own handwriting here. Oh, S Cam, Gunashai 77, Some Guy, Daryl Kane. You've all been brilliant. Thank you so much. If you are listening on any other platform, apologies for the nonsense with the racists, but we're a live show and that's how we roll. You know, it's just what we've got to do. If you do want to be part of the chat box, and it is amazing, please subscribe to our YouTube challenge. Click on the bell icon and they will let you know whenever we go live, as well as the tweets we put out. Is there any special shout-outs this week, John?
No, I think that's it. Just another one to Ed Loud, who's still plugging away, him and his granddad just doing amazing things. If you don't know Ed or follow him, it's worth the follow, because some of the pictures of him and his granddad and the places they go, it's fantastic.
The video he did, I just love, because, you know, you're talking about a guy who has been caring for his granddad for the last number of years, he doesn't get out to see people. He just doesn't. He rocked up to Walk and Talk last year, and, you know, some of the pictures and videos of that, of granddad going up and on the steps and stuff, were magic. And he had the bottle to put it, his feelings out there on that video. And I'm just in awe of the guy. I really, really am. By the way, we'll be joining Paul and Jake Coe for a special a couple of weeks before the Palace game, because they're doing a Walk and Talk again. A special shout out to Danny the GFP, his first game in a long time. He and Sean were there. They bumped into Carl and a few of the guys. I hope lots of people hugged him and made him feel really, really uncomfortable, because he deserves to feel as uncomfortable as possible. The pirate let us down today, but, you know, what do we expect? You know, he's a big Guendouzi fan, and he won't accept the first half was awful, but sorry, I just can't keep it up anymore. We'll be live after the Forest game.
Yeah, Forest, isn't it? I'm not sure. I don't know. Am I on that one?
That might be. Oh, balls. I tell you, Wiz on there.
We got a special guest for that one.
Yeah. Sophie McLeod's on with us. As long as we don't go into extra time. Is it you?
It's you and Danny and Sophie, yeah.
Yeah, me, Danny and Sophie. Yeah. I'll do the next lineup soon. So we look forward to seeing you all then, guys. The Tender Road puts in the Carl Jenkinson testimonial. Damn right. God, I love Carl Jenkinson. That's it for tonight, guys. John, I would say normally to you, switch this shit off, but it's me who's switching it off. So there you go.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.